turn to the book of Romans. We started out in Romans. Let's finish in the book of Romans. We've been looking at a kingdom thinker, how to recognize a kingdom thinker, a kingdom-minded man, a kingdom-minded woman, a boy, a girl, whoever has a kingdom mindset. I want to be a kingdom thinker. I want to think with a kingdom mindset. And I want to be able to recognize the warriors out there, the champions of truth, those who are living dangerously strong for the truth, kingdom-minded men and women. And I said I define a kingdom-minded person based on the word specifically drawn out of Romans chapter 1. And throughout the scriptures, we find these particular traits about them. But a kingdom-minded man always has fruit on his mind. Always has fruit on his mind. He's thinking about how he can invest heavenly truth, heavenly principles, heavenly seed, the Word of God, how he can give the gift and the gospel away. He's always got fruit on his mind. He wanted fruit among them as among the other Gentiles. Paul tells us that clearly in Romans 1, that I want to give you this spiritual gift. I want to sow it into you. I want to preach the gospel among you that I may have fruit among you as well. A kingdom-minded man always has fruit on his mind. He always has the brethren in his sights. Paul said, I've longed to come to you, to be with you. But I was hindered. Why was he hindered? Because he was out preaching the gospel to the unknown places of the world that had never heard of Jesus. But he wanted to get to the church so that he can invest in them. And every place Paul went, he always went to the synagogue first. He reasoned with them from the scriptures. He opened his mouth. And what else did he open? He opened his Bible. He opened the Word, the scriptures. And he opened his life. That's right. That was characteristic of Paul. Everywhere he went, he opened his mouth, he opened the Word, and he opened his life. He alleged, he cast his life, his testimony, alongside the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and showed them and validated them in his own personal life of what the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ had done to him. And he was always looking for the brethren. Everywhere he went, he wanted to encourage them and be encouraged by them as well. And he had the gospel in his heart. He had the gospel in his heart. As much as is in me, he said, I am ready to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must have the gospel in our heart. It needs to just flow from us. We need to know what it is. Yes, we need to know the results of it, what it'll do for you, but it's not the results of the gospel that redeem men. It's the gospel, amen. It's the gospel. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from heaven. There is power. It's the means of God unto salvation. The gospel is not the effects of the gospel, but the gospel, amen. And there is a difference. Now, I'm thankful that our testimony validates the effects of it. And the New Testament continues to validate the effects of it. But we preach the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the kingdom that takes us back to our Creator, who created all this, who planned all this, who we as His creation are accountable to. And that we will give an account to this Creator. And the only answer that we can give Him that will satisfy Him is the life of His own Son, His own sacrifice, our substitute, our Redeemer, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. Amen? The shedding of His blood. That's it. It's the only thing that will satisfy Him. And then we see, not only does He have fruit on His mind, has the brethren in his sights, has the gospel in his heart. But what does it say? What's the next one? Tell me. What does he have on his shoulders? The lost upon his shoulders. Paul said, I am a debtor. To what? To the Greek and the barbarian. To the unwise and the wise. He shows no partiality. He said, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. I go and I go and I go. I take abuse and being mistreated. Why? Because I am a debtor to the world. They do not have one chance of hope outside of hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I take that burden upon myself. And I want to go, he said, to where Christ had not been named yet, to the dark places of the world, and share with them the glorious good news of Jesus Christ. And praise God. Amen. You see, these things help us stay balanced. And then we see a man who, as a kingdom thinker, has hope in his hand. He has hope in his hand. He carries hope in his hand. And the idea of having hope in his hand is the fact of what faith has produced in him as a kingdom thinker, as the scriptures have become alive to him, and the hope that he has in the Lord. We looked at that last night, and we're going to continue to look at it tonight as well. And as I was thinking about these things, I was thinking about just having hope in the Lord and the promises that he gives us. In the song that y'all sang, talking about how precious are the thoughts toward us. If we were trying to recount them, we couldn't number them. Amen. They are more than the sands along the sea, the way God thinks upon us. You know, as I was thinking about that, as y'all was singing in that psalm, some of y'all know what psalm that comes from, right? Psalm 139. When it talks about how we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. That we've been woven in the womb by a designer, a creator who had intention and purpose, because our God never does anything accidentally. And because he created us, we are accountable to him. But I love what that passage says. As David penned that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says that all his days, before even the first one was fashioned, all his days were recorded or written in a book before the Lord. Now that's hard for us to fathom, dealing with a sovereign God who knows all his works from eternity are known to God before the first one, before they ever came to pass. He knew them all before time ever began. Amen. Now the neat thing about that is this, is David is the one who penned that scripture. He followed it up with that thought, how precious are the thoughts toward him. Even if he was to try to renumber, he couldn't. They were more than the sands along the seashore. But when David penned that, I think there's a reason why he's drawing from that conclusion back. Remember when King Saul disobeyed God those several times, and God came to him by the prophet Samuel, and he said that I have sought for a man after mine own heart, and he shall, and I've commanded him to shepherd and lead my people. Y'all know out of 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14, when he said those words to Saul that day, when he quoted that to him and spoke that to him, he spoke in the past tense. He says, I have found, I have commanded, he will shepherd my people. Now the neat thing about the history of that passage is that David wasn't even born yet. David wouldn't be born for a whole another 8 years when God spoke that, as if David was already alive and ready to take over the throne. You see, our God speaks those things which are not as though they were. Amen. He can do that. Amen. That's him. Amen. That's him. He can do that. He's God. He knew what he was doing, what he was going to do, and who he... You think it was by accident that Jesse had the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ already in his loins? Do you think at some point in time God said, well, let me redirect that seed and move it into this one and move it into that one and move it? You don't think that was all laid out before time ever began? You see, that's the God we serve, amen? That wasn't by accident. David was going on that throne because David was going to be on that throne because David's son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was going to be on that throne and would reign eternally upon the throne, amen? And that didn't happen by accident. That was all intentional and purposeful every step of the way. And to God be the glory and the praise. So when I think about that, see, that's hope, amen? That's the kind of God that we serve. And when we carry that kind of a message and we walk in that victory, what we do is that we carry hope in our hand and we help lift people up. We help build hope in other people. We help build faith in other people. Why? Faith only comes by hearing, and hearing by what? the Word of God. You know what we need to be? We need to be like a sponge. I brought a sponge in here. Have y'all ever noticed some of this new synthetic material they have, ladies? You know that kind of stuff, them rags and things you can buy, and they claim they really good, but the only thing they do is push water around? You know what I'm talking about? They just push water around. They don't clean up nothing at all. They don't absorb water. They're supposed to be more absorbent, better in all kind of ways. I kind of like an old sponge. I'm going to do something in here. Let's see here. Let me move this for a second. You take this sponge here. Joyce, let me borrow this sponge. Watch what this sponge is going to do. Let's see. I'm just going to put a little bit of water on it. Come help me out. Now, when the water starts running out, come on. Watch this. When you see water run out, say stop, Brother Nick. You didn't say stop, Brother Nick. You said okay. Now, I understood what you meant. That's good. Thank you, brother. Now, look, it took a little bit for that sponge to soak up that water. What it did, that sponge was flat. And when I poured that water on it, it began to absorb that water, and it began to change the structure of that sponge. And it began to hold that water. Now, I can lift it up. It's full of water. I can squeeze it. Look at all that water coming out of there. Too many people today I come across, they like that synthetic material. They come to services, they get under the Word of God, but they not, look, it soaked all that water back up. And instead of taking the Word of God and soaking it in and letting God wring them out wherever He wants them, they just push water around. And we don't want to push water around. We want to have hope in our hands. We want to be able to carry it to people. And when God wants to fill us up with water, hit the water of the Word, He fills us up with it. And if He wants to squeeze us out on somebody or a group of people, just let Him do it. Amen. We need to be a sponge to the Word of God and soak it up. In our day, this is what we're doing. We're settling on messages being preached, but not actually acting in faith and obedience to those messages in the Word. For an example, a preacher will get up and he'll preach hard. Y'all have heard good, hard preaching, I know. Solid, biblical preaching. We all heard preaching on repentance, and we've settled on messages for repentance, but actually not repenting. Think about it. We settle on those things. And that's like that synthetic material that really is not doing anything but just pushing stuff around. A sponge soaks it up. And it takes it wherever I want to take this. And if I want to use it, I can take it and just squeeze it and pour the water out. That's the kind of person that I want to be. I want God to fill me up with the living water of the Word. I want to walk in the unction of His Spirit. And I want Him to just wring me out and squeeze me wherever He wants. Because the Scripture says this, and I take that. This is part of carrying hope in our hand. We're going to talk a little bit about Scripture. We're going to use some tonight and just rejoice before the Lord in what He's given us and what we have in Him. But Proverbs 11:25 says this. It's one of my favorite principles in all the Scriptures because it helps me. It says, "He who waters shall be watered himself." He who waters shall be watered himself. That's simple, isn't it? That's simple. He who waters shall be watered himself. That's simply saying, Brother Pat, as I share the living water, if I share encouragement based on the principles and the truths of God, as I lift people up and bring the Word to them, I don't ever have to worry about not being filled up with water because God's going to keep my bucket full. Amen? I don't have to worry about running out. Somebody, one of my church members last night texted me. We was going home. I got the text and it said, "Brother Nick, said, don't give everything you got away to them folks up here. You still got family back here. Looking forward to seeing." I said, "Brother, I'm doing everything I can to give everything I got away because my God promises He's going to fill me back up." Amen. He's going to fill us back up. You cannot outpour the Lord. You can't outgive Him. And that's hope that we have in Him. That's what we want to share with people. Just give it away. Share what He's doing. But I can't give what I don't have. Amen. I can't give what I don't have. So I want to be that type of sponge that soaks up the Word and allows it. A kingdom-minded man, woman, boy, or girl is a sponge. They soak it up and they let God use them to water other people. And y'all have watered us this week. And I pray that we have watered you and that you've encouraged me. And I get people from all over the world sending me encouraging things. And every time they do it, these principles come to mind. They keep filling my bucket up. They keep filling my bucket up. Well, I keep pouring it out. And I'm telling you, the more I pour out, the more He keeps sending my way. You cannot outgive the Lord. You can't outgive Him in resources. You can't outgive Him in truth. You give away the truth. You be an encourager. You carry hope in your hand. God's going to make sure you live and abide and remain in His rest and His hope. It's when we turn inward and we become self-centered is when we struggle in life. It's when we have a trouble. And see, that's the kind of people that we're facing every day in our life. They have no hope. They're without hope. And the hope that they do have, as Proverbs would teach us, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but that way therein leads what? So that, you know what that means? There's a way that seemeth right. It seems right. They have a sense of hope that seems right to them. They have a sense of peace that seems right to them. They have a sense of joy that seems right to them. But it's not rooted in and the result of an intimate fellowship with the Lord. It doesn't have any kind of eternal glory or significance to it. So it has no eternal value to it, and it's going to come to nothing eventually. It's just going to lead to death. And you know how many people we're around on a given basis that are sitting in that circumstance? We need to have compassion for those people. Amen. That burden, taking that burden on as a burden of the lost. Notice what he says in Romans chapter 1. I'm just going to read verse 1. I'll read a few verses into it. And then we're going to pick up something I believe that Paul, it's like bookends. He starts out the book of Romans this way and he closes the book in a very similar way. Let's see if we can notice it, and then we'll kind of run through the scriptures a minute. He says in verse number 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised, that is the gospel, by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That gospel that he promised, which is found in the Word, is concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, his humanity, and declared to be the Son of God, his divinity, that he was God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom, through Jesus, we have received what? Grace and apostleship. Paul is saying we receive grace, that is this grace for salvation, this grace that is sufficient for walking with him, and apostleship, our calling for what? For obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name's sake. He simply said Jesus saved us and called us so that we could be obedient before the world. That we can live obedient before the world. Amen. That's what he said. We have received our salvation, our calling, our sanctification in Christ for obedience to the faith among or before all the nations for his name. Now turn to chapter 16. Turn to chapter 16 and see if he says just about the same exact wording. He started the book out this way and he closes the book this way. Notice what verse 25 says. Remember, we carrying what in our hand? We got hope, amen. Our hope is not built on us. Who's it built in? in Jesus and Jesus alone. He says in verse 25 of chapter number 16, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to what? The gospel." But not the gospel alone will he continue to build on this. He's talking about he's going to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of who? Jesus Christ. That's simply the teaching of Jesus, who he is, what he done, how he lived, teaching of Jesus, preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations. For what purpose? Oh, did you see that? He says, you received your salvation, the calling upon your life, sanctification in your life, and the scriptures in your life to be obedient to the faith before the world we live in. You see, a kingdom-minded man is a man that lives by faith, and when he lives by faith, he lives for obedience to the faith before the world, and when he does that, he's carrying hope in his hand. Why he's living that way? It points back to the cross. It points back to the life of Jesus. It points back to the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures that foretold of his coming, the mystery that was kept a secret, and then God manifested the preaching of the New Testament. Every time you hear the word, every time you end the word, everything about the word of God and the life of Christ is given to us so that we can be obedient to the faith. Obedient. Not just to hear the preaching. Amen. Now be honest with me. How many of us have settled often in our journey just to be under the preaching? Just to be under it. I've done my duty. I went to church. I heard the message preached. I said a few amens. I gave my tithe. I shook a few hands. I cheesed at a few people and smiled at them. I said, hey, and we made it all look good, but we go right back to the house, we get before our meals, we eat our Sunday meals, and we go right back in our routine every single day. Nothing ever's affected, no changing whatsoever, and not being obedient to the faith. I want to tell you, anything and everything, because our God is an intentional and purposeful God, if he gives you something, he's given it so that you can be obedient to the faith, so that you can bring glory to him. Amen. Let's think about Psalm 23 for a moment. How does it say? For the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not... What does he do? He leads me. Where does he lead me? Beside the still waters and the green pastures, right? Why does he do that? For what? Oh, tell me, Brother Clint, exactly why does he do that? Say it one more time. Say it louder. Why does he lead us? For his name's sake. For his name's sake. He leadeth us for his name's sake. And when he leads us for his name's sake, there's something that he says will follow us. That will follow us. What did he promise would follow us? Goodness and mercy shall follow us. Amen. All the days of our life. If he leads us, he leads us for his name's sake. He leads us in what kind of path? A path of righteousness. Is there any righteousness in you and me? Righteousness is an imputed thing, right? But God has a path of righteousness, which is his path, his way. So if he's leading me, whatever path he's leading me on, it's always going to be for, in righteousness, on a righteous path, and it's always going to be for his name's sake. That's not changed, amen? So when he leadeth me and speaks to me and guides me as a kingdom-minded man, he is going to lead me for his name's sake. And it's going to be in the path of righteousness. And goodness and mercy is sure to follow me all the days of my life. Amen. What did Paul just say? He said the same thing. He just used different words. Jesus saved me, called me, and he sanctified me for obedience to the faith for his name's sake, so that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life as a witness before the nations, before the world. That's why we're able as a kingdom-minded man to have hope in our hands, amen. You know why? I'll tell you why. The Bible says that the Word of God is like a what? I brought a hammer in here, Joyce's little house hammer. The Bible says, Jeremiah says, the Word of God is like a fire, and it is like a hammer that breaketh up the rocks. What can you do with a hammer? You can drive things and you can draw things. But I want to tell you, when you hit something with a hammer normally leaves its mark, don't it? Wasn't long ago I was out hunting, and I was looking at old fence row, and I noticed on that fence row, I got to looking close up, and I take a lot of pictures. Anybody that follows us in the social media world would know that. But I was looking at that fence post, and that fence has been there a long time. The man I was hunting on his property put those things up about 65 years ago, and I got to talking with him about it, and about how long he'd done it. And I started looking at those U-nails, those fencing staples on there. Every one of those staples that he had driven into those posts that was holding that barbed wire on there, every one of them were marked up. They were scarred. The evidence of a hammer driving them into that post. And you know how many storms and days and sunlight and rain and clouds and winds have come along and overcome the post, but it didn't do anything to the mark left by that old hammer. I want to tell you what, I want the Word of God. I want to be a sponge that he can wring me out wherever he wants, but I want the Word of God to mark me. I want it to leave a mark on me, amen. An identifiable mark that trials and troubles and tribulation doesn't affect it whatsoever. When people see I've been marked by the Word of God, I've been hit with the hammer of the Word, it has marked me and changed me. I want to be a marked man, amen. And as I was pondering and thinking about these thoughts, I couldn't help but think about these very principles here that we see of obedience and being hit by the hammer of the Word of God, is that a man that has hope in his hand is going to be courageous, because the Word of God has marked him. He's walking in God's authority. Go to the book of Judges. Excuse me. Yeah, the book of Judges real quick. That just come to my mind. Judges. Look in Judges, if you would. Chapter number 6. Y'all remember Gideon? God spoke to Gideon and called him, and he found Gideon where? Hiding from the Midianites, wasn't he? He was hiding from them, and God spoke to him and called him something. What did God speak over Gideon and call him? He said, Gideon, thou mighty man of what? Now, Brother Jeremy, he was hiding when God called him a mighty man of valor. Gideon really wasn't a mighty man of valor. But because God met with him, spoke to him, gave him a word, and God was going to do something with Gideon, God was going to make Gideon a mighty man of valor. Gideon was going to be marked by the hammer of the Word, Brother Jimmy. Notice what he says in chapter 6. Verse 11, I'm just going to start in verse number 12. 6:12 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and he said unto him, the Gideon, the Lord is what? With thee. See, any kingdom thinker that's walking with the Lord knows God's with him. Amen. God will not leave us, nor. And if God says, if God be for us, who in the world can be what? And I want to tell you, the Lord told me in Matthew 28 to go into all the world and all the nations and go make disciples. Did he tell you that? Now, he didn't give me no stipulations. He didn't say if they like me, go make them. He didn't say if they don't like you, go make them, right? He didn't say if they mistreat you, go make them. He didn't say if they don't mistreat you. He didn't say if they don't behead you or they behead you. He didn't give no stipulations. He just said what? Go. Isaiah, we've already talked about Isaiah. Isaiah said, how long should we go? And what God tell him? What we say the other night? Till the cities were desolate, till there was no more people. So we go until there's no more people. But what did God promise? That when we in the going, he says, lo, I'll be what? With you to when? Always. To the ends of the world. Amen. To the end of the age. And he came to Gideon while he was hiding, and he says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. It's very similar to this. You know, there's no man on the earth that is holy outside of the presence of God upon their life. We're holy because of God's presence. We're called saints because of God's work and sanctification in our life, the justification in Christ. The only thing that makes us holy is the presence of God. And the only thing that made Gideon a mighty man of valor is the fact that God was with him, amen. And you see, I can have courage when I have hope in my hand because of his authority on my life. And he says, I am with thee, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Now Gideon responds like us. He says unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, this was his thinking, why then is all this befallen us? You see, he's thinking in the natural, isn't he? That don't sound like a mighty man of valor. Where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites? And the Lord looked upon him, and this is what he told him. Go. Now watch, this is the key. Go. In this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee. Amen. Go in this thy might, that I'm with you, Gideon. That I'm changing you, Gideon. And that I've sent you, Gideon. You see, we can be, why can I as a kingdom-minded man carry hope in my hand? How can I be courageous? Because I have been marked by the authority of the God of this universe, who has sent me to do his work. And when he sends us to do his work, we can walk in his authority. We can go in his might because he's the one sent us. Amen. He's the one sent us. And we can carry hope to people. Because we've been marked by the precious word of God. Amen. Go in this thy might. Have not I sent thee? We find that throughout the scriptures. God comes to Joshua and he tells him the same thing. Have I not commanded thee? Have I not commanded thee? You can lead these people, Joshua. I've been preparing you for this. Have not I commanded thee? I want you to think about this for a moment. God never does a thing with anybody without first giving a command. The command is where the authority is at. And it's in the authority that's power. Jesus said, I have power, that is authority, to lay my life down. No man taketh my life, I lay it down. Why did he have authority to lay it down? Because it was the will of his Father. His Father gave him a command. And he came to this earth, was born of flesh, and lived the sinless sacrificial life for us, and walked in love and obedience to his Father. He even tells them that in John 14. He says, look, let us get up and go from here. Have not I got a command, so let it be. The Lord gave him a command to walk in. And that was the authority that Jesus lived by and walked by. And that's how we are going to be courageous in this world as a kingdom-minded man, living under the authority of the command of God. That is where his power's at. That's where our authority's at. That's how we can do what we do, based on a command. David says it in the Psalms like this. Have thou not commanded my salvation? God's got to command it. He speaks it. Just like in the beginning when he said, let there be light, and there was what? Light. Just like 2 Corinthians 4 says that Paul said, I went preaching the gospel, and God said, let there be light. God has to speak it. And when he speaks it, we can walk in that authority. And I want to tell you, you holding in your lap tonight, you looking in a revelation of the Lord God, and whatever he says is yes and amen in Christ. Amen. You can take it. You can love it. You can lean on it. You can live by it. It will be your authority. And when he speaks to you, you can walk with a courageous spirit because you've been marked by the hair of the Word of God. Amen. He's marked you. Well, you can be confident. You have courage. Confident. Turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. This is how we help people when we have hope and are not threatened by this society that we live in, the people that we're engaging, because we are courageous with the authority of God, we can be confident in being able to help them because we are going to face troubles just like everybody else faces troubles. And we can help people with the troubles they're facing by the way that God's helped us with the troubles that we're facing. But notice what Psalm 34 says. Let's start reading about verse number 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of what? Y'all say all? Y'all, we believe that? Now, sometimes you got to ask the question like this. To understand a passage, I often ask, what does it not say? Well, what that passage does not say, it doesn't say that God will deliver them from all their troubles. He said he'll deliver them out of all their troubles. There's a world of difference between delivering us from something and delivering us out of something. Amen? To deliver us out of something, Brother Jerome, you got to deliver us through something. Amen? And God never promises his people he will deliver us from trouble. The only thing he says he would deliver us from is wrath to come. That's not dealing with troubles in our everyday life. That's totally a whole nother eschatology idea of what he's going to do in future days. We can count on that because he's made a promise for it. But when it comes to troubles, when it becomes the heartaches, when it becomes the problems, God has never told us he would deliver us from the problem. He just says, I'll deliver you out of it or through it. Let's keep reading. Notice what he says. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such that are of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions in the same idea of trouble, evil, bad, things that come our way, hardships. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Not from them, but out of them. Amen. That's important for us, Brother Jimmy. Why? Because we're going to be, if we want to bring hope to people, and we got the lost on our shoulders and the gospel in our heart, the brethren in our sights and fruit on our mind, we're going to engage a lot of people that are in trouble. If we all have to go through troubles, and we are, we're going to encounter many people in times of their trouble. And when you bring hope to people, that means you bring truth to people. You bring God's truth to people. And what we help them with is this, is that God's never said, because a lot of people will ask the question, just like Gideon did, well, if God be with us or he be for us, why has all this happened to us? You see, that's what the natural man does. He questions God when troubled times comes. If he is who he says he is, why do we have to go through what we go through? If he's as loving as he says he is, why does he take people that I love from me? If he is as kind and as gentle and gracious as he says he is, why does he do this to us? Well, we go back. God's never promised any of us that he would deliver us from troubles in life. He just said when we are righteous, and the only way to be righteous is to trust him. When we trust him, he didn't say he would shield us from the trouble. He just says he will deliver us through the trouble. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God didn't keep them I didn't keep them from the fire. He just kept the fire from them. Amen. He delivered them out of the fire. He delivered them through the fire. Think about Daniel. He didn't keep him from the lion's den. He just delivered him out of the lion's den. Amen. And you see, our God is good, and he's good all the time. That's him. Amen. That's him. And we can count on that. Matter of fact, go to the New Testament in the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. Looking about verse number 9. Acts 7, 9, Stephen's preaching this powerful message, and he draws back to the times of Joseph, and he says, and the patriarchs moved with envy. They sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was what? So Joseph could be courageous, wasn't he? He could be confident. Why? He says in verse number 10, and God delivered him what? Not from all his afflictions, but he delivered him what? Out of all his afflictions. And what did God do? And God gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh of Egypt and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now, I want you to think about old Joseph. Joseph went through a lot of hard things, didn't he? He was mistreated by his family, abused by them, was going to kill him, and a brother stepped in because they didn't like what he said to him and that he had a dream, and they didn't know God was in that, huh? But he's sitting in that position, and then they sell him to some slave traders, and they bring him into Egypt, and then they sell him. They put fetters on him, and they put him in position. You know who was behind every step of that? Psalm 105 will tell you that it was God the entire time. God put fetters on his feet. God put chains on him. God put him in that prison. God got Potiphar's wife to do what she did to him. All that was distinctly calculated by a holy God to get him in that prison, get him before those people in the prison, to get aware to the Pharaoh of Egypt so that he can interpret a dream. Then God elevated him from the lowest slave to the highest man in authority. The only person over him was Pharaoh himself. God sent a man before his people to provide bread in a time of famine. Amen? You see, God didn't deliver him from those things. He just delivered him through them. Amen? We can be confident to know that God is not going to deliver us from our troubles, but he's going to deliver us out of them. I think about people here. I think about all of us. There's things going on in our lives right now. Some of you are going through some hard things. I know that. Some difficult things. You know people going through challenging, difficult things. But when he is our hope and our righteousness and our peace and our joy and our gladness, you can count on him. You can be confident in him that he will deliver you through where you are right now. It is a guarantee he's going to deliver you through it. And if he chooses to bring you home for whatever reason he chooses, you can rejoice. You'll be better off than the rest of us. Amen? And God's either going to heal people, or his grace will be sufficient for us to bear whatever it is, or he'll just take us on home. And you can't lose in any of those. Amen? You can't. That's hope. Amen. Hope that we carry in our hand. And then I just put the idea of being content. That's what he teaches us. See, when we live in his authority, we know what he promises and what he will do. We can be content in all things, whether we have or don't have, whether we're being misused or abused. Contentment. What does Philippians 4:13 teach us? That we can do all things through Christ who what? How does he strengthen us? He strengthens us. Paul said, I've learned how to be abased. I've learned, God taught him through the scriptures, through experience, through embracing the fact that God promised he would deliver him through the trouble. And that's what he's going to do for you and me, to teach us how to be content. And I want to tell you, a content person is a glad person. And gladness and confidence has a contagiousness about it. if people see something in us that are different when we content in where we are, content in Christ, and we're not dissatisfied or unsettled in our spirit, but we look into Him and leaning on Him, following Him, and He's put joy in our heart. He's given us peace in life. We're glad-hearted in what we're doing and why we're doing it, and we are kingdom-minded person. People see that, and as Peter said, when they ask you for the hope that is in you, just tell them where it came from. Amen? Just tell them who it came from. Just tell them who it came from. What does all this lead to? Simply this. We become compassionate. Because ultimately, because we're carrying hope, His Word in us, we know, because we've been marked by the hammer of the Word, it's never really all about us. One of my favorite passages is 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verses 3 through 11. That teaches us that the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies allows things in our life, both good and bad. He comforts us, or He afflicts us, the Scripture says, so that He can work salvation or deliverance through our lives. Nothing is wasted. Remember the other night we talked about that $100 bill, what it would be like if we wasted that money? If I shredded it, that would be ludicrous, wouldn't it? How many of y'all like a $100 bill? Yeah, I'd imagine, ma'am, you could probably spend a $100 bill if I gave it to you, huh? You wouldn't have no trouble with it. You would think something was wrong with me, though, if I took that $100 bill and shredded it, huh? You'd think, what in the world is wrong with that cat? I don't know. Well, that's the same thing, is that when we waste the troubles that God gives us in life, because they're all intentional and purposeful, it's like throwing away money. Because God uses every trial, every test, every trouble to bring glory to Himself and good to us to benefit other people around us. And the Scripture says that He comforts us, that we are able to comfort others. And it doesn't matter what they're going through, by the same comfort that He comforted us while we was going through the trouble. The trouble, He never talks about what kind of trouble, because that's irrelative. What's relative is the fact that God was with us, and God comforted us, and God used us so that we can be a comfort to other people. And when we realize that, we know that, Brother Hebert, what happens is that we can be compassionate toward other people when they're going through trouble. And we walk with hope in our hand. Amen? We walk with hope in our hand. To Him be the glory and the praise. How many of you want to be marked by the Word of God? The hammer of the Word. I mean, it leaves a lasting mark. How many of you want to be a sponge that'll soak it up and let Him wring you out wherever He chooses? Kingdom-minded men and women have been marked by the Word. They are a sponge. They have hope in their hand. They have the lost upon their shoulders. They have the gospel in their heart. They have the brethren in their sights, and they have fruit on their mind. Amen? Amen. To Him be the glory and the praise. Father, we thank You.